It's with a great sense of Yiras HaKavod that I have the schus to introduce not just Yididi HaYakar VeHachabib LiMod, but perhaps even Morenu Rabbeinu, in many respects, HaGoyin Rav Zev Lev Shlita. I imagine many of you remember, and it still resonates with me in the chambers of my heart, to dwell in a palace. The Hakdama that was written by HaGoyin Rav Lev Shlita, I don't know how many decades ago. And I remember that I said to myself, what is going on here? A Telza, literally, Shorashim in Telz, connected to the Gdoli Elam of the Telza Yeshiva, to HaGoyin Rabot Chagifta, to Mishpachat Bloch, Goyin Eretz. In general, the yeshiva world is not known for its, passionate connection necessarily to Eretz Yisrael. One of the great Rashi yeshiva, I won't mention whom, I asked him, how come he doesn't push Eretz Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael? Came out the biggest yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, not the present, but the previous Rosh Yeshiva. And he told me, Mekene Tanzer by Tzei Chassidus in the Zelba Zeit, are the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. So I asked him, I don't see why the two can't go together. There's no contradiction whatsoever between the two. On the contrary, they complement each other. Uzahav Horetz Ha'itoy Vein Torah Kataras Eretz Yisrael. So HaRav Zev Lev Shlita, a Telza, who essentially served in pulpits in America, one of the most outstanding Rabbonim I've ever been zochet to meet, and a mechaber of many beautiful svarim, classic svarim, on very fundamental topics. So I maintain that to my mind, he became the model, not just for American Rabbonim, but for American Balabatim, who ultimately came to Eretz Yisrael. In the Bechina of the Ramban, Ramban of Lech Lecha, on the Pasuk of Vayavar Avram Baretz, Ad Mekom Shechem, Adilom Moreh, Vaknani Oz Baretz, the Ramban formulates and lays down one of the most fundamental tenets of our Torah Hashkofa. Maisa Ava Simul Abonim. Avram Avinu was told by Hashem, Tzei Ukvosh Es HaDerech Lefnei Banecha. And the Rav who was Kovesh, the Derech Lefnei Banov, is none other than Yedidenu HaYokar HaGoyin Rav Zev Lev. As a result of his coming to Eretz Yisrael, which was in the early years, to my mind, many American Rabbanim followed suit. Most American Rabbanim would tell me, you can go to Eretz Yisrael when you retire. Because what is there for us to do in Eretz Yisrael? And I thought in a similar kind of way. And then I saw HaGoyin Rav Zev Lev, but I don't come near his toenails, near his karsulayim. What am I going to do in Eretz Yisrael? Somehow I found myself, Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, Lo Somnu Ki Lo Cholu Rachamav. So he's a model, as a Rav, as a Rosh Yeshiva, just an outstanding human being, teaches in so many different places, has been mashpia on thousands of young men and women, unbelievable. So we really have a great schus to have someone of this stature gracing us with his presence, and Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him Brius in the Horem Alya, Ad Me'ev Yesim Shona, for many years to come.
Rishus, your extremely choshuva Mora da Asra. I appreciate that hesped, but I can wait. There's a mitzvah to publicize Nisim. And therefore, I have to start with publicizing a nes. I left Moshav Matityahu this morning. I gave a few classes, and I was not a Gaon. And over the course of the day, B'nais Godel, I became a Gaon. So I want to publicize that nes. Want the Divrei Torah to be Le'ilui Nishmas, Avram Nosson, Ben Yibodel L'chaim Tovim, Ve'aruchim, Daniel Nochum, Ben Yomin, and Ephraim, Ben Yisrael, whose yahrzeit Shloshim is now. There are a few sugyas in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that speak about the mechanics of the mishpat, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, both on Rosh Hashanah and the mishpat that everybody faces after they leave this world, and the final mishpat that the entire world will go through. The Pnei Yeshua points out what really is the purpose of that. None of us are going to have to take care of doing that mishpat. It's the Rabbanu Shlom's business, perhaps together with the Beis and Shalmala. Why do we have to know how that judgment is operated? He says that if we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, then we can know how to prepare better for that judgment and what things we have to work on, because what things are important to the Rabbanu Shel Olam in the judgment that he judges us. In that respect, Chazal describe the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah in the following way. Uva Rosh Hashanah kol boy olam ovrim lefanov kivnei moron. On Rosh Hashanah, all human beings pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like B'nai Maron. The Gemara has three different opinions, three different explanations of what B'nai Maron means. The first one is Ki Imarna, like sheep, like we say in the Unasana Tokef, Ki Vakoras Roe Ezro, Ma'avir Sono Tachashifto, just like a shepherd passes his sheep single file, one by one before him, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes each and every one of us single file, scrutinizes each and every one of us on Rosh Hashanah, like sheep. The second opinion in the Gemara is Kemalos Beis Maron. There was a yeshuv on the top of a mountain, and there was a very narrow mountain pass that ascended that mountain towards that yeshuv. And you could only ascend that mountain pass single file. And just like people go up this mountain pass single file, so too we are going to pass before the Rabbanu Shel Olam in less than 2 weeks, single file, one by one, and be judged. The third opinion is Kihumarna de Malka, like the authority of a king. David HaMelech reviewed his troops one by one. The troops passed before him. Every soldier was scrutinized, single file. That's how we will pass before the Rabbanu Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah. Three different explanations of what it means to pass single file before someone. There are many, many explanations of this Gemara, because the obvious question is, I think I could understand what it means to pass single file without having three different mishalim of what it means. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think there is no argument here. Each one is revealing another aspect of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. What exactly are we being judged on? And there are three different viewpoints, three different aspects. We're going to be judged like sheep, like climbers up that mountain, and like soldiers. And now I will explain to you in great detail what each of those aspects of Mishpat contain. First, sheep. Why does a shepherd pass his sheep before him? What's he looking for? In my estimation, he's looking for three things. First, he wants to see if the sheep are there. Maybe a sheep ran away. Maybe Rachman al-Islan had died. So he wants to count them and make sure they're all there. Even if they're there, he wants to see if they're healthy. Maybe they're wounded. Maybe they're sick. They need to be taken care of. That's the second thing. And the third thing, he wants to see that they bear his brand. Every shepherd has a different brand that identifies the sheep as his. And he wants to check to make sure that each and every sheep bears his brand. In case it gets lost, you can identify it as his sheep. What does that mean in regards to the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah? First thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to ascertain is, are we there? Are we committed to him? Unfortunately, in the past year, there have been people who have turned their back on the Ribbono Shel Olam, who have run away completely, gone off the derech, partially, completely. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us on our commitment. How committed are we to living a Torah life? That's the first aspect of this first aspect of judgment, like sheep. Are you there? Are you committed? Secondly, even if you're there and you're committed, are you fulfilling the commitment? Sometimes you're committed to something, but you don't live up to it. Are you a healthy sheep? Are you fulfilling mitzvah saseh, staying away from mitzvah lo saseh? Have you developed your midos tovos, your deos tovos, your Jewish philosophy? Are you a healthy sheep? Even if you're committed, are you fulfilling your commitment? And lastly, do you bear the brand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Which b'kitzur means the following. Torah is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, like a game. Do this, don't do that, pass go and go to Olam Haba. It's not so simple. The Torah is there to create a lifestyle, a way of life, a Torah personality. The mitzvahs are there to guide and mold a person's values and standards and goals, his entire life's purpose. And that is bearing the brand of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are supposed to be a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. A Kohen is the Ribbono Shel Olam's representative to Klal Yisrael, Shluchei D'Rachmona. How do we represent God to the world? We are the Kohanim of the world. We're supposed to be an Or LaAmim, a light to the nations of the world. How do you do that? You don't hand out your business card, I represent God, if you need him, give me a call. We do it by fulfilling the second part of the pasuk, the Goy Kadosh, by living a life of Kedusha, that when the non-Jewish world, or for that matter, the Jewish world, sees a Frumi Yid, he says there must be a God, because that person lives a godly existence. That's the goal of what Torah is, to create a Torah personality. So those are the three parts of the first aspect of judgment. Are you committed to living a Torah life? How committed? Are you there? If you are committed, how much are you fulfilling that commitment properly? And lastly, are you developing a Torah personality, a Torah way of life, values and standards and goals that are kulo Torah? Do you represent the Rabbono Shel Olam? Do you bear his brand? Those are the three parts of the first aspect of judgment, and they correspond to Malchios, the first aspect of Rosh Hashanah. Are you a good subject in God's kingdom? Are you committed to the kingdom? Are you fulfilling your commitment to the kingdom? Do you represent the kingdom? That's Malchios, and that is the first aspect of the judgment. Okay, that seems to include everything. What's left? It's possible that there'll be two people who are on the exact same level when it comes to being like sheep. Both exemplary sheep. Let's say there are 50 levels of what kind of sheep you can be, and both of them are on level 40. Very fine. Same commitment, same fulfillment of the commitment, same lifestyle, same level, 40, level 40. Beautiful. One of them will get a positive judgment, and one will not get such a positive judgment. How can that be? They're both exactly the same as sheep. The answer is, one of them last year was on level 30 and ascended to level 40. Very, very fine. The other one last year was on level 45 and descended to level 40. Even though they're both standing on the same level, one is going to get a positive judgment because they have improved, and the other one is going to not get such a positive judgment because he has gone down and descended in level. We were put in this world not to stagnate. As opposed to angels who are created on a certain level and remain on that level forever, and therefore they're called omdim, they stand on one level. We are mahalchim, v'nosati l'cha mahalchim bein haomdim o'elu. We're constantly moving. This world is a world of movement. Nothing is ever stagnant and totally static. We are moving together with the earth around its axis. We're moving with the earth around the sun. The whole galaxy is moving. And within everything, the atoms, molecules, are moving. If they stop moving, they stop existing. So either you're moving ahead, or Rahmanu Litzlan, if you're not progressing, you're regressing. You can't stand still. Someone once told me, this world is like a down escalator that you're trying to run up. Children do it all the time. Adults would like to do it, but they hold themselves back most of the time. If you run up a down escalator and you stop, you go down. If you put in some effort, then you may stay still. And if you put in a lot of effort, you'll get a little higher. You can't stand still in this world. You have to be moving. Either you're moving ahead or you're moving backwards. Either you're progressing or you're regressing. So the second aspect of judgment is not just what kind of sheep you are, but are you climbing that mountain? Where are you? Where were you last year? Where are you now? And that corresponds to the second part of Rosh Hashanah's Zichronos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only going to judge us where we are, what kind of sheep we are, but judge us where we were vis-a-vis where we are. Are you progressing? Rachmanu Litzlan, are you regressing? And that is Zichronos. In fact, one of the hints of the shofar, the Medrash says, Shipru ma'aseichem, not do it good, do it better. That's part of the responsibility of a yid, not just to do it good, not just to be a good sheep, but to constantly progress and be a better sheep. So the first aspect of judgment is like sheep, and the second one is like climbers. How much have you climbed in the past year, or Rachmana Litzlan, how much have you regressed and gone down that mountain pass? What's the third aspect? Like soldiers. Feivel Mendelovich Zatzal explains what we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, that the Rabbanu Shlom judges Ma'ase Ish U'Pekudaso. Explains, what does that mean? Ma'ase Ish, the deeds of people, U'Pekudaso. He explains what it means as the following. We all have generic things that we all have to do the same way. We have to keep Shabbos and eat kosher and keep all of the Yomim Tovim, take Estrig and Lulav and listen to Shofar. And in that, we're all the same. But everyone has his pikuda. He has his unique portion in his Avodas Hashem. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shlom is going to judge us not only are you doing what everybody has to do? Are you using your unique talents, abilities, and capabilities in service of the Rabbanu Shalom? Now, how do you know what your tafkid is? So in the time of Nevi'im, you went to the Navi, and he told you, this is why you were put into this world, and this is your tafkid. There aren't any Nevi'im today. So how do you know? I teach in a lot of the girls' seminaries. And I get the feeling that they came here to find out what their tafkid is in life. And that they are going to hear it from one of their teachers. One of their teachers is going to reveal to them what their tafkid is. That can't be. Because like I said, you'd have to be a Navi to tell somebody what their tafkid is. And Chazal say that Nevuah was taken away and was given to Shotim and Ktanim, to fools and to children. Now, therefore, if that teacher is over Bar Mitzvah, there's only one other way they could be a Navi. And you wouldn't want to hear your tafkid from some fool. So how do you know? I was once asked this question in a way that I could not avoid answering the question. I had a balabos when I was also a rav in Har Nof. I had a balabos who was dying of a brain tumor. They did everything they could, and the doctors told him, there's nothing more we can do. Go home and within a few weeks, you will no longer be in this world. B'derech HaTev. And that's what happened, Taka. And he called me Tzom Gedalia, I remember. And he said, I must speak to you today, immediately. I figured that he wants to ask me, why is this happening to him? Why is the Rabbanu Shlom doing this to him? And I tried to prepare something on Tzadik Diralo or whatever to tell him. I come to his house. He says, Rabbi, I have no complaints against the Rabbanu Shalom. He gave me a beautiful life, a beautiful family. I'm very, very grateful for what he gave me. I'm not going to complain that I want more and he's depriving me of it. That's not why I called you. I called you because I want you to tell me if I fulfilled my tafkid in this world. Not going to be here too much longer. Did I fulfill my tafkid? I was extremely flattered that he thought I knew what his tafkid was. And not only that, I knew if he fulfilled it. I'd have to be God to know that. And I was really flattered that that's what he thought. But I couldn't answer him and say, I can't answer you. I couldn't even say, I'll get back to you in a few weeks. That wasn't an option. tell you a secret that I would imagine many Rabbanim know. If you're responsible to answer people's questions, and they ask you questions that you have no clue what the answer is, so if you admit to yourself that you have no clue, then the Rabbanim Shem has rachmanis on you. And he says, look, you have responsibility, and you admit that you have no idea, I'm going to help you out. If you think that you can answer everything, then usually you'll open your mouth and say some kind of idiotic thing, and the Rabbanim Shem will say, look, you think you can do it on your own? Do it on your own. Here I knew I had no clue what to say, so the Rabbanim Shem helped me. He gave me the following answer. In these days, the way you know what your tafkid is the following. There's a script. It's called the Torah. It's called the Shulchan Aruch. And your tafkid reveals itself second by second as you live in this world, meaning the following. You get up in the morning, your tafkid is get out of bed, go wash negel vasher, and make birchas hashachar. Okay, that tafkid is pretty much generic to everybody at that point. And then there's a knock at your door, and there's somebody there, a poor person, needs money, person who needs comfort, somebody who needs something else. Your tafkid now is help that person, but help him with what you can help him. If he needs money and you have money, give him money. What if you don't have any money, but you know how to talk well, and you can comfort him? Then that's your tafkid. Use your talents, abilities, and capabilities to fulfill the situations that come your way day by day, hour by hour. And that is your tafkid. Your tafkid reveals itself day by day, hour by hour, who you come in contact with. Put that together with what you have to be able to offer. What abilities, capabilities, talents, material possessions, put that all together, and that is your tafkid. So, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to judge us, are we fulfilling our tafkid in this world? Rav Kook Zatzal explains what we say on Yom Kippur, at the end of all the viduyim, Elokai ad shalom notzarti eini kedai. The achshav shenotzarti keilu lo notzarti. He explains it in the following way. Everybody, like we said, has a part to play in this world. And the Ribbono Shel Olam equips him with the necessary abilities, capabilities, talents, material possessions to fulfill his unique part in this world. And everybody, like in a play, comes on the stage at a different time in a different part of the stage. Rav Kook says, a person should say, Ad shalom notzarti eini kedai, meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam equipped my neshama with certain talents, abilities, capabilities, qualities, and until the time came that my abilities, capabilities, talents could make an impact on the world, it wasn't kedai to bring me here. Give you an example. Use myself as an example. If I would have been born 400 or 500 years ago, when there were great Talmidei Chachamim, great Achronim, or even worse, in the time of the Rishonim, even worse, in the time of Amoraim, Tanoim, that would have been a waste of time. What in the world could I have added in a world like that? In addition, if there weren't tape recorders or whatever, today they have voice recorders or whatever, no one would ever remember whatever I said. Wouldn't have been worth listening to the first time, surely not remembering it later. So the Ribbono Shel Olam waited to bring my neshama into the world when all these great people don't exist. So even a small Am Haaretz like me can be somebody. And not only that, you can record what I say so you can remember it, right, more than just a few seconds afterwards. But if I had been brought into the world few hundred years ago, it would have been a waste of time. I could not have accomplished anything. So, Ad Shelo Notzarti Eini Kedai, says Rav Kook. Before the time came that I can make an impact on the world, it wasn't Kedai to bring me into the world. But Ashav Shenotzarti, and now that I'm here, and I have the ability to do something, everybody does. And it's not always something earth-shaking or seemingly earth-shaking that is really earth-shaking. There was a woman in history, her name was Bisyo Basparo. She woke up one morning to take a bath. And she found a little infant. She had Rachmanis on him. And she saved his life. And she probably went home and she said, I did a nice mitzvah today. A nice chesed, saved a little baby's life. That's my tafkid in this world. But it was her tafkid in this world. And it was earth-shaking what she accomplished. So you don't always know what action that you can do, everybody, can be very impactful and very earth-shaking. So now that I'm here and I have the wherewithal to be able to make an impression and to make an impact on the world, am I doing that? That's what we admit when we say the vidui. How important is it that a person uses his abilities, capabilities, and talents in service of the Rabbanu Shel Olam? The Chedushei Arim says that at Ni'ilan Yom Kippur, there's no time to say the long vidui of Al-Chet, so we don't say it. In its place, we say three paragraphs. Ata nosin yad laposhim. And in those three paragraphs, we say two viduyim, same vidui twice. Leman nechdal me'oshek yodeinu, in order that we should stop stealing. That is the only avera that we are misvada in those three paragraphs. Says the Chedushei Arim, that is the one sin that every man, woman, and child, every single year at Ne'ilah, has to confess or a bunch of ganovim. That's Klal Yisrael. Leman nechdal me'oshek yodeinu. We're all a bunch of thieves. What does it mean? I'll give you a marshal to what he says before I tell you what he says. Imagine in the high school in America. It's hard to give that marshal. But a high school, a secular high school in America, it is customary for firms, for sports teams, to send scouts to the high school class to scout out youngsters that if they go to college could be on the sports team of that college because they show tremendous what's the word I'm looking for? They're a good baseball player or football player or whatever. Right, talented people or firms looking for youngsters that if they would take line of education in college, for instance, an engineering firm is looking for nice, young, talented engineers. So they visit the high school class and they find a young man or young woman who excels in math, excellent math scores, and also is very artistic. Put the two things together, you got a great engineer. They go over to one of these youngsters and they say, we think that if you take engineering in college, that you could be a very, very fine engineer. And we're looking for young, talented engineers to join our firm. We want to get you before anybody else does. We are willing to payroll your college education if you'll take engineering. We'll give you room and board, spending money, with one condition, that when you get your degree in engineering, you come to work for our firm for 5 years. So we're guaranteed nice young engineers, and you have a payrolled college education. Person signs on the dotted line, goes to college, becomes an engineer, comes to work for the firm. But every day, from 9 to 5, instead of doing anything significant, that person plays computer games the entire day. What sin is he guilty of? He's a ganav, because he's not paying back the investment they made in him. They invested in this person expecting he would work for the firm. And he's working, but he's not doing anything for the firm. He's playing computer games every day. He's a ganav, the thief. So too, says the Chiddushei Arim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in each and every one of us a lot more than money. He gave us a body and a soul, talents, abilities, capabilities. He gave us material possessions, and all he wants to see is to see that he gets something for his investment. And he wants us to use the things that he gave us in his service. He wants to see a return on his investment. And we come to Elah of Yom Kippur and look back over the year, and we see that many times, not only are we not using what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in his service, we're using it for the competition. So we're a bunch of ganavim. So we promised the Ribono Shel Olam, we're going to stop stealing. And this year we're going to start using the talents, abilities, capabilities, material possessions that you gave us in your service and give you a return on your investment. So that is the third aspect of judgment. Every soldier has his specific part in the army, his specific talent that he can contribute to the army of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that corresponds to shofros. The shofar is there to arouse you, to make you aware of who you are and what you possess. Your talents, abilities, capabilities. Wake up and understand what the Ribono Shel Olam invested in you, what he's expecting to see as a return on that investment, how you can serve the Ribono Shel Olam not only generically like everybody else, but ma'ase ish u'pekudaso, what is your pekuda? So that's it. Those are the three aspects of judgment, like sheep, like climbers, and like soldiers. Okay. But I'm supposed to speak another 20 minutes. The answer is, don't get your hopes up. It's not over. Because there's one more line in the Mishnah. And that line is, the kulam niskarim beskira achas. After we pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, single file, everyone scrutinized as an individual, like sheep, like climbers, and like soldiers, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to take another look at us, but not individually. But skira achas, he's going to look at all of us together. What does that mean? What I think it means is the following. What I described as the judgment as sheep, climbers, and soldiers, it's very nice if we'd be the only person in this world. So HaKadosh Baruch would judge us. What kind of sheep are you? What kind of climber are you? What kind of soldier are you? Finished. But we're not the only person in this world. We exist in many, many communities at the same time. Our first community is our immediate family. Parents, children. You have to live. Not just for yourself, you have to live and get along with your siblings, with your parents, with your children. And then we live in a community of extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins. And then we live in a community all at the same time of our neighborhood, of our city, of our country, of the Klal Yisrael, of the world. And we have to interact in each of these communities because we weren't created to be alone. We're created to live together with other people and to interact with them. So after HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us single file as individuals, he's going to take another look and see how we fare as part of all those communities that we have to be part of. B'skira achas, all together. And now let's go over and see how that works. You may be a great sheep. You're committed, you're healthy, and you are bearing the brand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful. But are you a lone sheep? Are you part of the flock? What difference does it make? There's no comparison to a person who does a mitzvah alone or he does it together with other people. The more people doing mitzvahs together, the greater kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Talmud Torah derabim is much, much greater than Talmud Torah deyochid. There are halachas that change if it's Talmud Torah derabim. Coming here and sitting here and learning together as a group is far superior to staying home and opening a sefer and learning there. Tefillah b'tzibur, davening with a minyan, is far superior than davening b'yechidus. So the second tier of the first aspect of judgment, like sheep, is you may be a great sheep. Are you part of the flock? Are you doing your mitzvahs together with others? Are you influencing others? Are you strengthening others by doing your mitzvahs together, davening, b'tzibur, learning Talmud Torah, derabim, and so on and so on? The truth is that there are three aspects to a tzibur. There's kahal, adas, Yisrael. The word kahal literally means a congregation. You ever thought about it? What is a congregation? It means literally people congregate together physically in the same place and do the same thing at the same time, but there's strength in numbers. That's a congregation, a kahal. Vayikohalu ha-yehudim. They congregated together. That is this first aspect of judgment, the second tier. Are you part of the kahal? Are you part of the flock? Or are you a lone sheep? Great sheep, but you don't connect yourself to the rest of the flock. So the second tier of the first aspect of judgment as sheep, are you part of the flock or are you just a lone sheep? Secondly, you're climbing up that mountain. If you would be the only person making that climb, so the judgment would be, where were you last year? Where are you now? Have you progressed, regressed, stagnated? But you're not the only person on that staircase. There are people beneath you on lower levels and people above you on higher levels. How did you interact with them? You're on level 40. Did you ever turn around and offer a helping hand to the person on 39 and 38 to help bring them up to your level? Or did you just turn your back on them and ignore them? What about the people way down, level 2 and 3? You can't turn around and offer your hand to them. But were you a good example to them? When they looked up to level 40 and saw you, did they say, wow, what a magnificent human being on level 40. Someday I'd like to get to level 42. Or did they look up to you and say, what a miserable person on level 40. I never want to get to level 40 if that's what you look like. What kind of example were you to the people beneath you? And how about the people ahead of you? People on level 43 and 44, more medaktik in mitzvahs, firmer than you. Did you look up and admire them? and strengthen them by looking up and saying, wow, someday I wish I could be on that madrega. Someday I wish I could watch my tongue and not speak Lashon Hara like they don't speak Lashon Hara. Someday I wish I could be machmer in Hilchos Shabbos like they're machmer. Someday I would like to be up there and be makbid on kashrus like they're makbid. Or did you look up at these people and say, what a bunch of fanatics, chnyoks, make fun of them, deride them, weaken them? How did you interact with all the other people on that staircase, the people beneath you and the people ahead of you? So the second tier of the second aspect of judgment is like climbers, but not only where you are vis-a-vis where you were, but how do you interact with all the other people climbing? And that corresponds to the second aspect of a community. That is Eda. Eda doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of people in the same place. They don't have to congregate together. They can be scattered over the entire world, but they're united by Edus. They all testify towards the same values and goals and ideas. That's what unites them. Not their physical proximity, but their ideas, ideals. That's what unites them. I was thinking that maybe there's another idea behind an Eda. If you go to Ben-Gurion Airport and look at that big board, so where in English it says destination, in Hebrew it says Ya'ad. We're all climbing towards the same Ya'ad, towards the same destination. And that's what unites us. Some people are on a lower level, some people are on a higher level. Some people are on the same level as me. We're all going towards the same destination, and that's what unites us. How did you interact with all those other people on the staircase, the people beneath you and the people above you? That is the second tier of the second aspect of judgment. And finally, the second tier of soldiers. Are you using your talents, abilities, capabilities to fulfill your unique tafkid in this world? Cannot be judged only on that alone, but how are you coordinating it, synchronizing it with everyone else? And I'll give you an example of how important that is. Imagine if there's a play depicting the life of Abraham Lincoln, and you have a part. The life of Abraham Lincoln starts with a little baby behind the curtain who they pinch, and the baby cries, and they proclaim from behind the curtain, act one, scene one, congratulations, it's a boy, let's call him Abraham. That is the first scene, first act, behind the curtain. Scene two, Abraham Lincoln is 3 years old, begins nursery school. They don't wait 3 years for the baby to grow up to make scene two. They hire another actor who's 3 years old. And after scene one is finished, they open the curtain and there's little three-year-old Abraham Lincoln in nursery school. No, that takes whatever time. You are Abraham Lincoln in his early 20s or late 20s or early 30s, whatever. You come on the stage in act three, scene three. You have some lines to say, you have a song to sing, and you have a little dance to do. That is your part in the play. And you rehearse the part, and you know your lines backwards and forwards. You know the song perfectly. You know the dance perfectly. You come the night of the play, you're standing there, and they pinch the baby, cries, congratulations, and the play starts. That scene one takes a few minutes. They open the curtain, there's little Abraham Lincoln, the nursery school, three-year-old. That takes about 10 minutes to show him in nursery school. Then comes scene three, Abraham Lincoln starting school, first grade, that takes another 10, 15 minutes. You look at your watch and you say, this is ridiculous. I can't stand here for the next hour and a half waiting to get on the stage. I have things to do. So when Abraham Lincoln is 10 years old on the stage, you jump on the stage, say your lines, do your little dance, sing your song perfectly, and you just ruin the whole play. Because people are looking, they're saying, who's this guy on stage? Abraham Lincoln's 10 years old. Here's another 30-year-old Abraham Lincoln right next to him. What's going on? So you did your part perfectly, but you didn't coordinate it with everyone else. You ruined the play. The second tier of the third aspect of judgment is you may be a great soldier, and you are really bringing out your talents, abilities, and capabilities in service of Hashem, but you're not coordinating it with everybody else, and you may be doing more harm than good. So you're not only going to be judged whether you're a good soldier, but you're a good soldier in synchronization with all the other soldiers and doing what the army needs to be done at the right time in the right place. And that corresponds to the last aspect of community, Yisrael. There's Kahal, the congregation, the Eda, where everyone is united by their destination and by their ideals and what they testify towards. And then there's Yisrael. What is Yisrael? The Zohar HaKadosh says that Yisrael is an acronym. And it stands for the following words: Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. The first letters of those words spell Yisrael. There's 600,000 letters to the Torah. Beautiful idea. There's 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people. There are more than 600,000 Jews. But we all belong to a cluster of souls, root souls, which correspond to the 600,000 that left Mitzrayim. And there are 600,000 root souls, and there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. So every root soul has a letter in the Torah. Beautiful. There's only one problem. There are not 600,000 letters in the Torah. So you'll tell me, okay, gematria, one or two, more or less, doesn't make that much of a difference. How many letters are in the Torah? 304,588, or 855, I don't remember now. I didn't count them recently, but if you look at the end of the Chumash, it tells you how many. Somebody counted it. That is about half of 600,000. So unless we have the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Chumash, something's missing. How can it say there are 600,000 letters in the Torah when there are only 304,000 letters in the Torah? The Pnei Yeshua on Daf Lamed Aleph in Kedushin, those who are learning Daf Yomi eventually will get there, can look it up. He asks this question, and he gives two answers. I know about another 9 answers to this question, but Lanius Daiti, there's no question. And if you don't have a question, you don't need any answers. If it would say, Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios BaTorah, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah, it would be a question. Because there aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. But if it would say that, it wouldn't spell Yisrael. It would spell Yisra'ab. In order to spell Yisrael, it has to read, Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah, which echoes another Zohar, which you're all familiar with as a song. Yisrael, V'Oraisa, V'Kutcha B'Richu Chadu. The Rabbanu Shel Olam and the Torah and the Jewish people are all one. And that's what this Zohar is saying, the same thing. Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah, not BaTorah. The Torah has 304,000 written letters, but it's not complete. Because Yisrael V'Oraisa Chadu. Because you have to add another 600,000 letters, not written letters, neshama letters, to those 300,000 to make it complete. Because Yisrael V'Oraisa Chadu. So yeshishim ribui osios la Torah. In addition to the 300,000 written letters, you have to add another 600,000 neshama letters, and then the Torah is complete. Agav has nothing really to do with this drasha, but it's an interesting fact. It bothered me. That 600,000 is Klal Yisrael, but the Levium weren't counted as part of that 600,000. Don't they have a part in the Torah too? So I was thinking that there's something else in the Torah besides letters, and that's Sirtut. You have to line the parchment, not with ink, but with a blunt instrument to make an indentation in the parchment lines. The letters line up on those lines. And the reason, that's the Levium. The Levium are there to keep Klal Yisrael in order, to keep them straight, and to give them something to look up to. So the Levium are the Sirtut. They're the lines in the Torah. And then I made a cheshbon. How many lines are there in the Sefer Torah? So according to the minig, how we make the columns and how many lines in a column, it came out to be about 11,000 lines in a Sefer Torah. That's a Sefer Torah of 300,000 letters, needs 11,000 lines. But in the Sefer Torah of the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael, which is 600,000 letters, would be double that, 22,000. It's exactly the number of Levim, 22,000. So that is Ye Yisrael, Ye Shishim Ribui Osios La Torah. There's 600,000 letters to the Torah. And just like in the written Torah, every letter is unique. Even though there's only 22, 26 different letters, but their position makes them unique. The Beis in Bereishis is not the same as the Beis in Bara, because the Beis in Bereishis has nothing before it, and the whole Torah after it. And the Beis in Bara has the word Bereishis in front of it, and only the whole Torah except for the first word after it. So it's unique. Every letter is unique. And every letter is important. Because if any letter is not written properly, surely if it's missing, then the Sefer Torah is possible. So too in the Sefer Torah of the 600,000 neshamas of Klal Yisrael, if any letter is not written properly, and I can help to fix it up, or if I can help myself to fix myself up, or if any letter is missing, then the Sefer Torah is possible, and I'm also possible, not just that letter. So I have to synchronize myself and coordinate myself with every other letter in that Yisrael Torah of the 600,000 Neshamas. That's Yisrael. That's the third aspect of a community. Every person is a letter in that Sefer Torah that's the Sefer Torah of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, every letter has to be in its right place. I have to be in front of the person that I have to be in front of, and behind the person I have to be behind. And I have to make sure that my letter is written properly. And I have to make sure that all the other letters are written properly. That's the second tier of the third aspect of judgment. Not only are you a good soldier, are you bringing out your abilities, capabilities, and talents, but are you coordinating it and synchronizing it with everyone else? Those are the three aspects of judgment, like sheep, like climbers, and like soldiers, on two levels, as individuals and as part of the various communities that everyone is part of. That's the Mishpat. With that, I want to close with the following Rambam. The Rambam says, even though Tkiyas Shofar in Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet in Hilchos Tshuva, Af al pi Tkiyas Shofar b'Rosh Hashanah Gzeiros HaKosuv, Remez yesh bo, Kolomar Uru Yisheinim Mishinaschem, V'Nirdomim Hekitzu Mitardamaschem, V'Chipsu B'Maseichem V'Chizru B'Tshuva V'Zichru Borachem. The Rambam got finished saying that every year the world is judged, and it's judged according to the majority. If there's a majority of mitzvahs, the world deserves to exist. If there's a majority of averus, then the opposite. And every person is judged according to the majority. And therefore, one mitzvah can make the difference and tip the scales for the whole world. And Rachmana Litzlan, one avera, can do the same thing in the opposite direction. And therefore, the Rambam says that therefore, umibnei inyan zeh, because we're being judged, and every mitzvah and every avera is so significant that it could tip the scales, nagu kol beis Yisrael laharbos b'tzdoka uvamaisim tovim, the lasok the mitzvos mirosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim, yeser mikol Hashanah. That's why people do extra tzedakah, and extra mitzvahs, and extra Talmud Torah, and extra whatever they can do, kavon and tefillah, because who knows, we're being judged. One mitzvah could tip the scales, so do as many as you can to make sure that maybe that's the mitzvah that's going to tip the scales. The Noah Kulam, the Rambam goes on, and all of them have a minute, Lokum Balaila Basara Yomim Elu, to get up early in the morning, at night. Ule Spalo Babote Knesios Bedibre Tachanunim de Kibibushin Achior Hayom. Slichas, during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Always bothered me. Why is the Rambam split into two things? The Rambam should have said, and therefore, everyone is Nohek to do extra tzedakah, do extra mitzvahs, and to get up early in the morning and daven extra. Why do you split it and say, "Mizneh zeh nohagu kol beis Yisrael laharbos, the nohagu kulam"? Why is he split it into two things? I was thinking, since the judgment is on two tiers, one as individuals and one as part of the various communities that we live in. So you need to address both of these mishpatim, both of these tiers. That you give more tzedakah, do more mitzvahs, that's as individuals. But nagu kulam, there's something you have to do as a tzibur, because we're being judged as a tzibur too. Slichos is not something basically you can say at home. It's a tefillah that has to be said with a minyan. The main part of slichos is the yud gimel midos shel rachamim. Can only be said with a minyan. And the parts that are in Aramaic also have to be said with a minyan. So if you say it at home, you skip most of the slichos. You can't really say slichos. So slichos v'noagu kulam, as a kulam, as a tzibur, l'ispalu b'bote k'nesios, not to daven at home, to come to shul and to daven as part of the tzibur. Tachnuna b'kibush matshiyor hayom. You have to address both tiers of this mishpat, as sheep, as climbers, as soldiers, do more mitzvahs, give more tzedakah, daven with extra kavana. But as part of the tzibur, do something extra that a tzibur does, that's slichas. Two separate things. So Mirza Hashem, in less than 2 weeks, we're all going to be passing Kivnei Morom before the Kisei HaKavod. Each and every one of us is going to be scrutinized as sheep, as climbers, and as soldiers on two levels, as individuals and as part of all the various tziburs that we are part of. If we have less than 2 weeks to prepare ourselves to make sure that we put our best appearance before the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And even if we weren't that great sheep or that great climbers or that great soldiers in the past year, but if we show the Rabbanu Shel Olam that our intention is to improve and we'd like to be better sheep and we'd like to be better climbers and better soldiers And we'd like to function together with the tzibbur that we live in a better way. Then the Rabban Shem will give us a chance and he'll give us the opportunity to show and prove ourselves in the coming year. And we'll all be zoche to a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good, happy, healthy year for ourselves and our families and for Klal Yisrael. This year is Tov Shin Pei Dalet. If you rearrange those letters and separate them a little bit, it comes out to be Rak HaPedus, only Geula. Every person, the Rabban Shem redeem from their personal tzaras and redeem Klal Yisrael, the Diaskol Tzedek Meir of Yom.